Welcome to Our Natural World, the Microplastics episode, a podcast about the impact of microplastics. You may have heard of them, but how do they affect humans and the world around us? Join us to explore how microplastics affect the ecosystem and how Americans consume 74,000 microplastic particles a year. Our episode today covers what microplastics are and how they enter the environment. We'll also interview a special guest who has firsthand experience with microplastics. Let's get started. We're talking about microplastics today. What exactly are microplastics?
Microplastics are really exactly what they sound like. Small pieces of plastic, less than 5 millimeters in diameter. That's about the size of a pencil eraser or smaller.
Most of the plastics I see and use are much larger than that. Where do these smaller pieces come from?
Microplastics come from a few different sources. Since the 1950s, humans have created about 8 billion tons of plastic, and only about 10% of that has been recycled. Most of the larger plastic pollution you're used to seeing, think of plastic bottles, cups, straws, things of that nature, break down into smaller and smaller pieces over time. The sun, water, and wind deteriorate these plastics, resulting in the small pieces we consider microplastics. Some plastics that are already designed to be tiny are in products we use every day. Microbeads have been used in soaps and toothpastes as exfoliants and are made of plastic. But plastics also found in many other materials you might not generally associate with plastics. Paint, coatings, adhesives, tire dust, electronics, these are all sources of plastic that also break down and end up in the ocean. Even clothes made of synthetic fibers can release them into the washing machine. There's also industrial plastic waste as well. Small pellets called nurdles, are used to make most plastic products. Really, plastic is coming from everywhere.
So, if they're coming from many sources, are they found everywhere plastic is?
Yep, they sure are. Microplastics are found just about everywhere. They're found in most environments ranging from the deep sea to up on Mount Everest. They've been found in soil, water, air, and even food. They're even found inside of animals and humans. A report in 2016 found that there are about 1.3 million metric tons in the ocean alone. A 2017 United Nations report found that there are 51 trillion microplastics in our oceans, which is 500 times the number of stars in our galaxy.
Okay, well, now that we've gotten a handle on what these microplastics are, let's talk about how they get into the environment.
Well, as we mentioned, plastic comes from a really wide variety of sources. Because of that, there are many ways it ends up in the ocean. There is, of course, direct littering. Recreational and commercial use of the ocean results in plastic trash and equipment ending up directly in the sea. Litter on land can also end up in waterways, like lakes, rivers, and streams, that eventually flow out into the ocean. Plastics that are already small and are heavier, relatively, such as microbeads, paints, coatings, and the like, pass easily through filtration systems and end up in the waterways in the environment. Smaller, lighter plastics, like the synthetic fibers in clothes, can be carried by the wind to the water. Those are some of the ways that domestic plastics get in the ocean, but I think it's important to hear about industrial plastic as well. Those nurdles I mentioned, those can easily escape the supply chain and end up in the environment. They're introduced via spills in transit, both on land and from shipping boats. There are also spills within factories where they're being used, and they can escape into the wastewater from the factory. Billions of nurdles end up in the ocean each year and account for 230,000 tons of the plastic pollution in oceans. Stick around, our special guest is going to tell us some of her firsthand experience with industrial plastics and nurdles in our next segment.
Great, and that makes sense. With 1.3 million metric tons of microplastics in the ocean, it must be coming from many sources. That amount is increasing, too. The Pew Research Center estimates that there will be 3 million metric tons of microplastics in the ocean by 2040 if nothing is done. It's just so much plastic. Is the plastic itself harmful?
That's such a great question. We tend to use the word plastic pretty generically, and it actually refers to a variety of chemical combinations. I bring that up because many of these combinations include additives that are harmful to living organisms. Now, there are a lot of additives, and most of them are a mouthful, but to summarize, they're added to plastics for practical reasons, such as making them more malleable, flame-resistant, or for color. That in and of itself makes plastic harmful, but that's not the only concern. Plastics also attract chemical contaminants in the environment to their surfaces. These toxic chemicals accumulate on the surface and are then transported around with the plastic. Some microplastics have even been found to have 100 times the concentration of chemical contaminants compared to the environment around them. Some of these chemicals have been banned for years due to their harmful effects, but can still be found on plastics in the ocean. The plastic never goes away, and they carry these chemicals with them throughout their life.
That's incredible. If the plastics are attracting and accumulating the toxins, is that a good thing for the ecosystem? If they're on the plastic, they aren't free in the water anymore, right?
That's a really good point. In theory, that could actually be helpful, but unfortunately, it's really harmful. Because of their size, microplastics are often mistaken for food and then end up in the food chain. Microplastics have been found inside of organisms from plankton, which are tiny organisms, to some of the largest creatures in the sea, whales. The plastics can get trapped in the animal's stomach, in some cases causing tears and in others causing the animal to feel full and not eat, leading to starvation. The toxins in the plastic can also cause damage and are amplified as you move up the food chain. PCBs, a pollutant that has been banned for almost 30 years, have been found to still be contributing to the decline in orca whales today. These deaths at multiple trophic levels have negative effects on ecosystem stability and biodiversity.
Wait, so if we eat seafood, are we consuming microplastics and these toxins?
That's the concerning thing, yes. Microplastics have been documented in marine animals, but they've also been found in drinking water and other foods. Humans end up eating, drinking, and even breathing in microplastics. Recent studies estimate the amount of microplastics consumed is about 5 grams per week, which would be about the amount of plastic to make up a credit card. More studies are being conducted to find out the effects on our health. We know in marine ecosystems, microplastics have led to stunted growth, tissue inflammation, liver damage, and can disrupt reproductive systems. Also, some of the chemicals known to accumulate on the plastics are linked to cancers, weakened immune systems, and reproductive problems. The studies being conducted in this area will hopefully shed more light on how we might be affected over time. Up next, we're going to speak with our special guest, who lives and works on the coast and has firsthand experience with microplastics and their impacts. Now it's time for our guest, Diane Wilson. Diane is a retired shrimp boat captain, and her family has lived on the Texas Gulf Coast for 4 generations. She cares deeply about the coast and the people who live there, and has spent 30 years fighting to protect the coast and its inhabitants, both human and otherwise, from chemical and refinery pollution. Because of that history, an insider from the Formosa Plastics Plant contacted her about plastic pellets, or nurdles, being released into the wastewater from the plant into a creek that feeds into the bay and eventually the ocean. She went to see the discharge firsthand and described that there was so much plastic it looked like it inhaled. The plastic she was seeing were nurdles from the plant. She spent the next 7 years fighting for the elimination of the release of nurdles in the wastewater from the plant. She eventually won, and the plant is now monitored and not permitted to release any nurdles in their wastewater. Today we're going to talk to her a bit more in depth about her experiences with microplastics and what she thinks the future holds.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, would you just give us a little background on your experience with microplastics and how you kind of got into the work with it?
Okay. Well, I'm a shrimper. I'm a 4th generation fisherwoman, but because I care about the bay and care about the fishermen, and we have a lot of chemical plants here, and especially Formosa Plastics, which even their lawyer in the courtroom said they make 1 trillion pellets a day. So they make a lot of plastic. And then I got a lot of information from workers inside the plant. They started giving me information about how much problems the company had with the microplastics. You see it in the water, but it starts inside the units, and it starts around the packaging and the transportation, and it gets all over the workers and gets lost inside the plant, gets out into their stormwater outfalls and into the bay.
Have you seen an impact on the bay and the environment from the plastics being expelled into the water? Well, like the plants and the animals and just the habitat?
Well, when we first started, back in 2014, it's like there wasn't many studies. There wasn't much research done on the microplastics in the pellets, and you would talk to fish and wildlife and they're like, oh, they just go inside the fish and then they go out and it's like, no problem. And now they're starting to find out that there is no place there isn't plastic. from the deepest ocean to the Arctic to the that it's in the even in the small embryo of a child, they're finding the plastic, you know, and there's, you know, there's even studies on how much plastic every day people are taking in. And I do know we have a mercury Superfund site and the pellets that are lost into the bay, they're picking up the mercury. So now they're contaminated with mercury and it goes out and they're finding them all the way down into Corpus Christi, Padre Island. And, you know, so they microplastics in the pellets, they pick up metal. So they pick up metal that is in the bay, you know, from discharges, wastewater discharges. And we have photos. I mean, children are out there on the beaches playing. We got videos. You can see, literally see the powder just rolling in on the waves, and it's on the shores, and it's on, it's in the roots of vegetation. It is in the water column, beaches. You know, we're still finding out the damage that is done, and it doesn't go away.
Do you think it's important for the general public to know about the discharge from the factories and what's going into the water in terms of the microplastics?
Well, absolutely, because one, they're just now finding out the damage, the extensive damage that is starting to be done, and they do not go away. And they still don't know the extent of the damage that is doing to the marine life, to the bays, to the human species. So it has to change. It has to stop. And that's what we're trying to do right now, is just keeping it from getting into the bays.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to tune in next week to Our Natural World, where we will continue to explore the world around us. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Our Natural World on Apple Podcasts or the Google Play Store. We'll see you in 2 weeks.